Attention, Lord, laid on my heart. We've got revival coming up soon. 2 weeks, 3 weeks away, something like that. September 1st. Homecoming next Sunday, but I'm really asking the Lord to meet with us and it be more about spiritual food than physical food. I like the physical food and I want people to come. I want visitors to come. You bring somebody that they might hear the gospel, hear the message. But I really desire that the Lord would meet with us. But I want to try to preach today out of Acts chapter number 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 23 down through verse number 33. And that's 10 verses, a little bit more than I usually read. But you pay attention and I'll get right into the message. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible said, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." That's what they had just prayed for, by the way. Verse 32 said, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Let's pray. Father, we come today, I want to thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I want to thank you for the good day yesterday, the souls that were saved, good time. Lord, you held the rain off for us. I praise your name. I praise you, Lord, for letting us be here today. And dear God, I ask that you would speak to our hearts and help us, Lord. I thank you for everything, the good time we had during Sunday school and just meeting with us. Lord, I heard some of the songs this morning like I'd never heard them in my life, or like I'd heard them for the first time. And God, it was just revival and sweet unto my soul, and I thank you for that. Lord, I know that come from you. And Lord, I ask that you'd speak to our hearts and help us as a church as we get ready. We think about revival in our midst. Lord, would you do that? Lord, would you do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? God, we're coming and calling and asking, Lord, that you'd do mighty things. Lord, things that we hadn't even thought about, Lord, we're asking that you'd do in our midst. I thank you for everything you've done. God, expand our hearts and our minds and our souls that we might believe for more. We'll thank you for what you do, Lord. We ask you to have your way right now. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 33 one more time. Bible said there in verse number 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Now, you may have noticed in the beginning of our text this morning when we started out in verse number 23, notice what it says over there. It says, "And being let go." And being let go. And what that is talking about, it's referring to Peter had just been arrested for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had been arrested. He had been threatened by the leaders there in verse number 17, chapter 4, verse 17. They told Peter and the other preachers, they said, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So Peter had been arrested. He had been threatened with being arrested and prosecuted again. If he went out and preached in the name of the Lord Jesus, they said, no further. All right, Peter, what you've been doing, we don't want to hear no more about this. We're going to let you go, but we don't want to hear no more of this preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm thinking in my mind, just humanly speaking today, that as Peter went back and relayed to them what had just happened, there might have been just a little bit of discouragement among God's people. You think so? If your preacher came and he'd just been arrested and he comes back and he tells the church, you know, I just got arrested and they straightly charged me and threatened me that what we've been doing, we've got to stop doing. And I think from a human standpoint, they probably had just a little bit of discouragement among them, and there might have been a little bit of second guessing about, well, have we really been doing right anyway? Is God really in what we're doing? I mean, after all, this is how we think humanly. After all, if God was really in what we were doing, wouldn't it just be smooth sailing and everything just go perfectly right? That's how we are. We want to do something for God. And we get all excited about it, and we get a little bump in the road, and we say, well, God wasn't in that. Now, maybe we shouldn't be doing that like that. Surely if the Lord was in this, things would have gone differently, and we wouldn't be in trouble, and we wouldn't have got arrested, and we wouldn't be in trouble with the authorities and all of these things. But as we read on down in this passage of Scripture, what they soon found out is that the power that God gave them in chapter 1, in chapter 2, and in chapter number 3, you know what? God gave that power in chapter number 4 again. God didn't put an expiration date on the power of God. In fact, the Bible says in verse number 33, I believe they found out that there was power, and there was more power than even they had had before, because it said in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With great power, the Bible said over there. Now, we had youth challenge yesterday, Baptist Youth Challenge Day yesterday, and we had a great day, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to study yesterday, and we've had a real busy week, and boy, yesterday, me and I wasn't the only preacher that was wondering in all that long day we had yesterday, what am I going to preach tomorrow? And that's just normal that a pastor has got on his mind. If he's preaching the next day, what am I going to preach on tomorrow? But I felt like 2 weeks ago that the Lord would have me volunteer to be the water boy. They need somebody to be the water boy. And when Brother David mentioned that, I said, I want to be the water boy. And so I told him after the meeting that we had, one of the pre-meetings, I said, I'm volunteer. I won't be the water boy. So that's what I did yesterday. And my job was to be the water boy and make sure that there was plenty of water for people, and was to, just water, and then they had Powerade. Has anybody heard about Powerade? You know what a little drink they have? So I went down there, and they had coolers set up, and they had water all over the place. They already had the Powerade mixed up, and they had another jar sitting there on top of one of them big coolers. And so we're standing around waiting on people to come get water and get them some Powerade, and I got to looking at this little jar. I got to reading about Powerade and what it was, because I didn't know what it was, and I picked it up, and it said Powerade. It's sports drinks. It's a sports drink mix. And on the side it said, inspire, ignite, empower. And I got to looking at that, and there's some other preachers there, Brother Dwayne Tester, and Preacher Greg came by, Brother Kyle came by, and there's some other people kept coming by, and we got to talking about Powerade. And so when people got hot and thirsty and they needed a boost, and they came by, and we'd give them some Powerade or some water to drink or something like that. And I got to reading about this, and I told Preacher Dwayne there, I said, boy, I said, look at this. I said, there's a message on that. I said, we need some Powerade in the church. Inspire, ignite, empower is what that said. And we just kept talking about that. And the more I talked about that, it's like the good Lord said, well, here's what you're going to preach on tomorrow. So I want to try to preach today on the subject, we need some power aid in the church. And you know, that's exactly what happened here in chapter number 4 of the book of Acts. They got some power aid in the church when they needed it the most. They got some power aid, A-I-D, in the church. And you know what? There's been many times down through history where the church at its time of greatest need, God sent some power aid along. And it's happened in the past, and you know what? We need it as much today or more than we've ever needed it before. We need some power aid in the church. So I want to show you a few things about power aid. Power aid, number one, and it says this on the container. Power aid will inspire the whole crew. That's what that says. It says, inspire the whole crew. Wouldn't that be good in the church if we could inspire the whole crew? I mean everybody. Look here in verse number 29. The Bible said in verse 29 that they were praying and they said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They'd come along and threaten them. Told them not to be preaching in the name of Jesus anymore. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 31 said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. That's what they just prayed for. And the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all. Notice what the Bible said there. You ought to underline that. They were all is what the Bible said. We ought to desire that the whole crew would be inspired. Now I've pastored for 20 years now. And always in my ministry, there has always, and I thank the Lord for this, there has always been a few in the church that it seemed like God was especially working in their heart and in their life, and they were desirous to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were interested in the work of God, and they were growing, and they were excited, and they were learning, and they wanted to reach out, and they wanted to pray, and they wanted to be concerned about the things of God. And I'm telling you, that is always a blessing when you got people in the church like that. We've got some like that now. We've got several like that. I praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I've always longed to see the whole church get in. Well, wouldn't that be a blessing? I mean, just one time, just to see the whole crew get inspired. You know what? If we had that, we'd have revival. If the whole crew got inspired at the same time, we would have revival in the church. Historically, it has happened many, many times in revivals of the past. That's what happened in the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening, you've heard about that. You've read about that in school. A preacher named Jonathan Edwards preached a message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I remember reading about that in high school. Jonathan Edwards was a great literary master in his writing and in his preaching and all of those things. And the Great Awakening so changed our nation that it made its way into our history books. It's called the Great Awakening because it woke up a whole nation. Woke up a whole nation. 13 colonies from the north all the way to the deepest south, and the America's first household celebrity. The name that everybody knew was not the name of somebody out of Hollywood. It wasn't even somebody like George Washington or Patrick Henry. It was a man by the name of George Whitefield. And George Whitefield was a preacher, and God used him during the Great Awakening to set the whole nation on fire. Great Awakening. And if they heard that George Whitefield was passing through, thousands and thousands of people would gather at one time to hear this great man of God preach. It's happened in the past. And then about 100 years after that, there was the second Great Awakening around the time of the Civil War in our country. And so there have been times where God has sent such a revival that it has literally changed the shape of our nation. But every revival always begins the same way. It begins with a hunger among the people of God and a desire of them to repent and turn to the Lord. And it begins with them seeking the Lord in prayer that God would do something and help them and give them some power. And that's what they were doing here in Acts chapter 4. And it said in verse number 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Shaken. I've been in some prayer meetings before where I thought, if the place would have shook, I wouldn't have been surprised that the power of God was so great. When the power of God comes along, it's different. It's different. And we was talking about this yesterday. And Brother Dwayne picked it up. And he said, I'm going to read the instructions. And before he ever read them, I said, I bet you it's got something to do with shaking. And he said, all right, mix an instruction. Shake well before use. I said, praise God. I had my little New Testament. I had my finger stuck in Acts chapter number 4. And I said, that's right where I had my finger. I said, when they prayed, the place was shaking. I said, you know what we need in the church? We need to get shook up. We need a shaking, an awakening. We need, you see, the reason you want to shake it up is because it's got lumps in it. But you know how we are sometimes. We've sat around so long, we've dried up, and we've congealed together in cliques, and we don't have no ability to reach out and to get in the community round about us and put no flavor among the lost people in our generation. And boy, we need to shake it up. We need to stir it up in our day and time. Bible said in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. That's the lumps. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. We need to get shook up. In that early church, they got shook up. I have seen in days gone by, and I thank God that I have, although I'm still a young man as far as preachers are concerned, I've seen the Lord shake His people up before. I have been blessed to see some churches and revivals where it got real close to the whole crew getting inspired. But you know what I've seen every time? Every time I've seen a church get real close to having revival, and sort of like it was around here in Sunday school this morning, and boy, God gets to moving and God gets to working, you know what? That scares people to death. When people start testifying, it don't normally testify, and things just sort of get off our normal routine, and people, they'll get real, real close, and boy, the Spirit of God begins to move. But it scares people. And when they get scared, when they see, you know, if we really have revival, it's not just going to affect the church, it's going to affect me. People begin to draw back. And you know, when we begin to draw back, what that does, that quenches the Spirit of God. And so we'll get close a lot of times as a church, and then when God really begins to move and shake, then we begin to draw back. And the early church in Acts chapter number 4, they were at a crossroads like that. They could have been afraid of the council. And they could have stopped. They could have said, in verse 17, they could have said, they threatened us, told us not to do that no more. They said in verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, well, Peter could have went back and he could have said, folks, we've had a good time. God's really blessed. We've seen a lot of people saved. And I think for the sake of everybody involved, and I know some of you got businesses and some of you got families, you know, maybe we ought to just calm down. Maybe we ought to just, you know, not be so, we just need to chill out. Peter could have done that. But you know what? I'm glad this morning they feared God more than they feared the government. And when they told them to be quiet, they took that matter to the Lord in prayer, and they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. You've seen what they said. Lord, give us boldness. Lord, we got more fear of you than we do them. And as a result of that, God gave them great power. You know what? We're at that same crossroads today, because the world as a whole tells Christianity, says, you just be quiet. We're tired of hearing about that. So we could come along, we'd say, Lord, we got families, people got businesses, we got jobs, we don't want nobody to lose their job or anything. So Lord, maybe we ought to just be a little quiet. You know what our problem is? We've been a little quiet a little too long. And so we're going to come to the place where we're going to have to make the choice. We're going to fear God more, or are we going to fear the world more? Boy, wouldn't it be good if the whole crew could get ignited at the same time? That'd be revival. And they had revival in those days. Ignite the whole crew is what Powerade. I'm talking about the Spirit of God will do for us. Second of all, when we have Powerade, you know what it says on this little container? It says, ignite their spirit. That's what it says. We said, I don't know who wrote that, but they had to be a Christian. Ignite their spirit. If you have power aid, it will ignite our spirit. Look in verse number 31. The Bible said over there, a place was shaken where they were assembled together. And there is a semicolon. Is that what that is? A dot and a comma? My mind just went blank. But anyway, it's a little pause in the sentence. And then it said after that, it said, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Ignite their spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what? What happened in chapter 2 and verse number 4 was not a one and done thing. You remember what happened over there? That's the day of Pentecost. Said in chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the day of Pentecost was a one-time event that never happened exactly like that again. But now that fullness of the Holy Ghost, you read the book of Acts. Time and time and time again, you will find the early church all filled with the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Spirit was to be a daily, normal walk for the children of God. Ephesians 5:18 said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." They were filled with the Spirit of God here in this passage of Scripture. And it said ignite. Now, that word ignite is more than just catching fire. Yeah, ignite is a word that you read when you're filling up your tank with fuel. He doesn't say, don't use your cell phone, you might catch on fire. It says, don't use your cell phone, it might cause a spark, and you will ignite. That means you will blow up. That's what that means. But you see people all the time, they're out there filling up gas, messing around, smoking. But there's a possibility that that could ignite. That's not just a little flame. That's not catching on fire. That is from a spark to an inferno in just a matter of seconds. And that's how it is when the Spirit of God comes upon God's people. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 2, it said, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." They're just up there having prayer meeting. It's what God told them to do. He said, "You need to go in the upper room, you need to pray, and you need to wait." And that, we don't know, it doesn't say anything about that, but that could have been as dry. You ever tried to pray and it's dry? And they're up there and they say, "How you want to pray? Let's just take turns and pray. Let's just, I don't know, let's pray a while and read some scripture. Let's pray and sing some songs. I don't know." But they were up there praying and they were up there waiting, and the Word of God says, suddenly there was an ignition from another world. Suddenly the Spirit of God came upon them. Suddenly there was a breeze from another world. And it changed the whole world. It changed the whole world. It didn't take all day long. It just happened all of a sudden. That's what an ignition will do. A few weeks ago, two Wednesdays ago, I think it was, I was over here studying for Wednesday night. And I had some mail, some missionary letters. And I come over here, I thought, well, I need to get ready for tonight. I've got some missionary letters. I said, I'll go over there, I'll lay them, I'll get everything set out so when I get to church, I don't have to worry about it. How many of you have ever been in here in the middle of the day? A few of you. It's dark as a coal mine. You turn out all these lights and you come from the bright sunshine into here. And I came in here and I always come in this door and it was dark in here, and I'd been over there studying. I had them letters in my mind, and I walked across through here, and I'm just minding my own business. I'm thinking about churches, church that night, and I laid them letters down here where Brother Dale could get them when he come in, and I turned around to head back, and right here, well, the Spirit of God met me, said, "Pray." I mean, just like that, from another world. I wasn't thinking about that. I wasn't thinking about nothing. The Spirit of God said, "Pray. You need to pray right now." And I begin to walk around and I pray. And I know where you sat. And I seen your faces. And I begin to walk around the church. I said, "Oh God. Oh Lord. God help Brother Norman and Sister Judy. Oh God. Help Dad and Lynette. Oh God, I pray for Drew and his nephews, and they come to church." And I walked around the church and up and down every aisle, and I could see you sitting. I said, "Oh God, oh God." And he met with me, buddy, and I had a post. Oh, what a time. See, you just can't pray anytime you want to. You better pray when the Spirit of God touches your heart. I don't care if you're driving down the road. If the Spirit of God comes by and says, "Pray," you'd better pray. Boy, I walked around two or three times. I prayed for everybody I could, where they sit. And I prayed for people that would come that I had never met or never seen. I said, "Oh God, would you give us a revival? God, would you save our lost loved ones?" Well, when the Spirit of God comes, it'll ignite something in you. It'll change you. Boy, last Sunday, that was a Wednesday night before last Sunday, and we come in here last Sunday, and boy, we had exceptional liberty to preach the Word of God. Boy, I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord coming by and meeting with us. And I appreciate it there being the power of God when you stand up to preach and you know you just hadn't stood up there in the power and energy of your own flesh, but you know that God has helped you. And after church last Sunday morning, I was standing out in the parking lot and Brother Terry came out and he said, "I want to talk to you about something." He said, "I have had on my heart, I'd like to get some men together and just pray for this revival." You think I said, "No, I'm against that." I said, "Praise God. That's wonderful. We need to do that." Why would the Lord lay on people's hearts to start praying and things unless God wanted to do something special? But it came suddenly. It'll ignite the whole crew. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He comes by, and all it takes, just a spark. Well, if he can hit the right ones, but that blaze up. Don't worry about it. I've done that all over the house. See, if that don't hit something, it ain't gonna hurt nothing. But oh, if he could hit the right substance. If a Holy Ghost of God could come by and spark on the right heart you talk about, oh, God could do something in Watauga County. He could do something in Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. He could do something in the high schools. He could do something in the colleges. Boy, it takes a spark. When I was a very young preacher, I was still living in England, getting ready to rotate out of the Air Force back to the United States, come back to South Carolina. And I'll tell you, you talk about feeling weak, and I don't know. Lord, I can't do this. And we lived in a little town called Ipswich. And I had been to the library, and I thought I might find some help in the religious section of the library. And I'd been down there, and I checked out a book about Charles Spurgeon. He's a great preacher. I know most everybody's heard about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Set England on fire. God greatly blessed him, and I had been reading that book. And we lived in town, and we walked everywhere we went, and their main streets, they don't let cars go up and down. It's just for people to walk. I mean, from storefront to storefront, that's just for people. Because people all live the same, and they walk on the streets. And the driving streets are behind the stores. And I was walking to the library. And I'm a young preacher. Let me tell you, if God really meets with you, I mean the times that God really meets with you and changes your life, you'll never forget. And I was walking down the street and I was saying, "Lord, I need a burden for souls. And I just need some help. And I want you to show me, Lord, I want you to show me people like you see people. Lord, I need some help. I'm a young preacher and I don't know. I don't know nothing and I'm afraid and I'm scared and God, I need your help." And I was walking down to take that library book. And there was all kinds of people in town. I was off work that day and Kim was at her work. And as I walked down through there, it seemed like everybody I met was going opposite from what I was going. I was going this way. And it seemed like everybody else was going this way. And I was walking down through there praying, and the Spirit of God came to my heart and said, "That is how it is." He said, "All them people's going to hell. And you're just going right by. You're all right. You're going to heaven. If you die, you're going to go to heaven." But he said, "All them people's going to hell. All them people's going to hell." Oh, God met with me. I had to get off the street. I made my way to the library as quickly as I could. I found a corner. I got in that corner. If somebody had seen me, they'd have thought I'd lost my mind. I said, "Oh God, please don't let me ever forget that they're all going to hell. And I need to tell them." That's how it is. No, not everybody's going to hell, but the majority of people do not know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people are religious. Most people are lost and are on their way to hell. And if we don't tell them, boy, we need something to ignite in our heart that would ignite the whole crew, that would ignite their spirit. Boy, we need that. Last of all, it said empower their performance. That's what it says on the box. Empower their performance. It said in verse number 31 of Acts chapter number 4. It said in verse 31, when they'd prayed, the place was shaken. Where they assembled together, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then look what it said. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And it said in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You talk about empowering their performance. Look in chapter 6, verse number 8. I'm quickly reading these. Chapter 6, verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Look in chapter 10 and verse 44. When Peter went and preached to Cornelius and his household, it said in Acts 10 and verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Do you know what? When Peter went and preached, do you know when them people got saved? Them people got saved while he was preaching. See, we think people can only get saved during the invitation. Just as I am. But do you know historically in times of revival, people got saved everywhere. They got saved all over the place. During the Great Awakening, most of the people that got saved while the preacher was preaching the Word of God. And they got saved on the roads and in the barns and down at the general store, and they got saved in the schools and on the college campuses. PowerAid will empower our performance. First person I ever saw, whichever way you say that. First person I ever had get saved while I was preaching. I was preaching for my grandpa. And I was preaching out of John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Where I am, there you may be also. I was preaching out of that great passage of Scripture. Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Boy, I was up there preaching. And right in, towards the end of my message, this young man jumps up out of his pew, runs down to the altar, and I'm trying to preach, and he's there trying to get saved. Somebody, boy, young preacher, now you just, what am I supposed to do? Somebody come and prayed with him. That young man got saved. It wasn't during the invitation. It was during the preaching of the Word of God. And he stood up and testified, and I quickly got done. He stood up and testified and said, God saved me. He said, I couldn't wait any longer. God just saved me. I said, praise the Lord. Boy, that'd empower our performance to see the Spirit of God. When real revival comes, real power comes, and it does not say in this passage of Scripture with great pleading, but with great power. I have seen lately some of the longest invitations I've ever sat through in my life. We're going to sing the last verse 10 times in case somebody here wants to come to the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm all for giving opportunity for people to come and get saved. But boy, when the power of God comes and He's moving upon hearts that they need to get saved, do you know what? You won't have to sing the same verse 10 times. They'll come pretty quick. I mean, when the power comes. And that's what we need more than anything in this day and time. We need power aid for what we're doing. Brother Stephen mentioned this morning, wouldn't it be a blessing if one of these days we got a call and Brother Bill or Sister Sharon said, hey, we need some help. We got some young people under conviction. They need to be saved. Something like that could happen. The college ministry, law enforcement, that could happen. Of all the things, God is able to do that. God's done that in the past. He's done that in the past. Mr. Finney was preaching a revival, went to a mill, to a M-I-L-L, a plant of some kind, manufacturing place, and he's holding revival at night, and the owner asked him to come, and he wanted to show him his place of business, and Mr. Finney went into the place there, and he was showing him around, and there was a lady working over there, and Mr. Finney, full of the power of the Spirit of God, looked at the lady. She began to weep uncontrollably. And somebody else got affected. And somebody else got affected. And it wasn't long. They had to shut down the whole operation while Mr. Finney preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until everybody in there had been dealt with. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. God's still able. God is able to do now what He's done in the past and exceedingly abundantly above that. And I don't know, I just sit around sometimes and I just think, what if? What if? Oh, I used to sit around all the time, dream about hitting baseballs and playing baseball and being in Yankee Stadium. I used to dream about all that stuff. Why can't I dream about something like that? I'd like to see God do that, wouldn't you? Oh, what a blessing. See God move in the church. Well, I'm going to close. I'm done this morning. But I'll tell you this before I close. You say, oh no, it won't take just a minute. We was done yesterday. All the field activities was over with. They was getting ready to come up, have the closing program. And they was going to try to eat some watermelon and finish up some cookies before they went in. So I moved my power aid station. I moved my power aid from the athletic field. I put it up beside a big old Coca-Cola cooler there. I set up my power aid station. I start filling up cups. I said, I know they're going to want this when they get up here. You know what I found out? People, 20 to 1, would rather have old nasty soft drink than they would some power aid. And I stood there. And some of you here today, I offered you some power aid and you wouldn't take it. I said, you'll be sorry. People would come through. I said, don't you want some Powerade? No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Go over there and dig through. Get out old. Pfft. That's how people are in church. They'd rather have a little psh than they would the power upon them. But they'd rather have power, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't. You'd rather have psh. Because if we'd rather have power, I believe we'd have power. I believe if we really wanted power in our midst, we could have power. People would rather have a soft drink than they would power aid. I told some of you, better take some power aid off of me. But there's a young preacher there, and he kept coming by me. He kept coming by, and every time he'd come by, and I'm not going to say his name, every time he'd come by, I'd say, brother, don't you want some power aid? And he said, first time he said, no, brother, I appreciate it. He went over, got something else. He came back by a few minutes later. I said, brother, don't you want some Powerade? And he looked at me and said, no. He said, but I appreciate you offering. I said, all right. It sort of became a little game. He come by again later on. I said, brother, you want some Powerade? No. No, I appreciate you offering. I do. So we got done. I closed up. My thing was done for the day. We went in, had the last service, came back out. We're leaving. We're going home. I'm walking down the sidewalk, and there's that young preacher standing on the sidewalk. He got right in front of me. He said, Brother Wynn, can I have some Powerade now? And I looked up at him, and I said, no, it's too late. Would you like to have some Powerade in the church? You better not turn God away when He's trying to do something. You better take it when He's offering, when He's a moving and a stirring, Wouldn't it be sad to come down to a time in our church, in our lives, in our family, and we'd look up to the Lord one day and we'd say, Lord, I'd like to have some power on my life. God say, offered that to you once. You didn't want it. It's too late now. It's too late after the train wreck's done come. A lot of times. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I appreciate your good attention.